morning we are at a place where we're getting ready to start a new series, a series on the book of Philippians. This is a study that ever since we kind of felt God leading us to this study that we were excited about, we looked forward to because it's a great book, full of a lot of joy and encouragement from Paul to Philippi, and which is something that we couldn't wait to dig into and to learn more about and be able to bring to you some things each week concerning this book. Before we get started in it, though, there's just a couple things that I'd like to just bring up right off the bat. And one is that, you know, we made this year, we called it, last week we talked about the year of the Bible, you know, really pushing folks and asking people to get a Bible, to get a year, read through the year in a book Bible. We can all read together and go through the Bible this year, a lot of things like that. Bring your Bible to church. We're going to use our Bible this morning as we read. I think we're going to put it on the screen and as well. But anyway, if you're here today and you do not have a Bible, there's nothing to be ashamed of. But when you leave today, right outside them doors, there's a table. Grab a Bible. Take it with you. It's yours to have. And we'd love to put that into your hands if you don't already have one. So just do that. Secondly, every week you're going to find inserts in your bulletin like you always do. And through this study, which is going to go on for about 4 months in the book of Philippians, and every week you're going to have an insert. We ask you to keep those inserts. Maybe put them into a folder or something so that you can go back and look at those each week as you study the Word of God and not just read it. But you can kind of go back and get the things that we taught from the week before, especially if you happen to miss a week. Those inserts will be helpful if you can get your hands on one of those. But if you can't and you had to miss a week, you can always go on to our website, First Church of God website, and you can listen to any of the sermons that we have had. So just go there and find the sermon from that week, click on it, and you can listen to it. Unfortunately, you can't, or fortunately for you, you can't see us, but you can at least listen to it. So we encourage you to do that as well. This morning, I don't know how many of you read a lot of books or watch a lot of movies. And the first service, I brought up a couple examples, and it really fell flat. So I'm hoping you guys can bail them out from the first service. But I guess I just didn't click with movies and books that you might read. But anyway, some of the stuff that I like, so it's one thing I can talk about, is things that I've seen and I like. But one of the movie series that I like the most, my family will know this, is the series from Clint Eastwood, Dirty Harry. So at least it's not Christmas Vacation, right? I do go beyond that. But anyway, he had a number of movies. And so it was really important, if you followed that, to be able to kind of follow him along in his character and be able to kind of understand where he's going, because some of the movies, they all fit together. I enjoy reading Vince Flynn. How many of you, anybody like Vince Flynn? It's going just like it did the first service. That's good. Anyway, it's a series of books. Maybe John Grisham, are you more familiar with him? Okay, there we go. But the same thing applies. When you start reading, if you start in the beginning of the series, you start to identify with characters. You start to identify with how this is going to go. So when you're reading through that book, it makes a little more sense to you. Well, we're going to do the same thing for about 5 minutes here this morning. We're going to go back to where Philippians really started so that you can understand why Paul wrote this letter. You remember back last year, we were preaching through the book of Acts, more specifically chapter 16 of the book of Acts. And if you remember back to that point, Paul was going on his second missionary journey. So Paul was heading out from Rome, hopefully all the way to Asia, preaching the gospel. That was his plan. But somewhere in the middle there, he got derailed a little bit. This man from Macedonia, that's how he was known, approached Paul and begged him to come to Macedonia and to preach the word of God there. So Paul, being obedient to God, he knew God placed that man there at just that time, Paul decided to go to Macedonia. And so he did. He traveled to Macedonia. When he got to Philippi, he went into the city, but he didn't find what he was looking for, kind of a prayer service for the Jewish people. So he wandered on out to a riverside. And he thought that maybe out at the river there would be some people there in a prayer service. And sure enough, there were some people out there. And you'll remember her. Her name was Lydia. She was a wealthy lady that dealt in purple cloth. I don't know if you remember that. But Lydia was there along, it said, with her household. And they were all out there. And so Paul started talking to them. He started teaching them. And the next thing you know, they all accepted what Paul had to say, and they gave their lives to Christ, and they were baptized right there. So, as we start to study this book of Philippians, this church in Philippi, that's where it started. It started out by that river, with Lydia and her household. They were the first members, so to speak, of that church that Paul planted there. So, now we move forward. Paul finds himself once again in jail, and that's where he is when we start to study this passage today. And with him is Timothy. Timothy is there alongside of him. They're there together, and they are both in jail. And they start to write this letter back to those folks in Philippi. Because, again, Paul was thinking back to his time in Philippi. These people loved Paul. He planted that church. They loved him. They followed Paul in their prayers. They followed him by sending him money to help him financially. They really had a love in their hearts for Paul, and Paul for them as well. And so that brings us to the book of Philippians. That brings us to this letter that Paul is going to write back to the church at Philippi. But he's also writing this book to us today. Because just like the church at Philippi, we are people. We have some of the same issues. And if you read the New Testament and you read through the letters of Paul, he wrote to churches. He wrote about things that are going on in churches, issues they had in churches, problems they had in the churches. And today we have those same issues and those same problems. So even though those letters were written specifically to certain churches, and in this case, Philippi, it still means a lot to us because we are a lot like folks in these different churches that Paul wrote to. So before we get started in this passage this morning, would you bow with me in prayer? Father, we just thank you. Thank you for your word, the word of God. We pray, Lord, now that you open it for us, help us to see it, help us to understand it the way you would like for us to understand it. Help us as we study, Lord, throughout the next few months in this book of Philippians, help us to understand what you're trying to tell us and to put it into place in our life. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we start this morning, if you have your Bible with you, open it up. We'd like for you to open. We're going to put it on the screen, and we'll see if I can remember to flick it here. But we're going to put it on the screen this morning for you. But if you have your Bibles with you, and if not, sometimes there's some under the chairs, open it up to the book of Philippians. We'd like to encourage you every week to bring your Bibles and actually go with us along as we read these passages. This will help you in many ways, but we would like to have all of you do that if you can. So each week, we'll ask you to bring your Bibles and do that with us. But let's look at this passage this morning. It's chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. It says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and the deacons. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in the gospel's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and the praise of God. This morning, we're going to take this passage and we're going to really break it into two main points. First of all is the first two verses. That's what we would call the greeting. And then the second nine verses is going to be the main text for our message this morning. So let's take a look at this greeting found in the first two verses. Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ, that's who they are. To all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and the deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So first of all, let's look at a couple words here. First of all, to the saints. Saints, the meaning for that word is set apart. Those who share something in common, and they're set apart for God. So if you are a Christ follower, they were a Christ follower, they were saints. And that's how Paul was looking at them, as saints. So the question is whether we really understand that point of being a Christ follower. So Paul is speaking to those who believe in him, who have understood that Paul, that Christ came, that he lived, that he died, that he rose again to give his life for all of us. And once we've made that and we've accepted that in our heart and we understand that, then we have truly become Christ's followers. And so he's speaking to you. So today, as you leave here, you can leave knowing that you, if you fit into this category, you're a saint, as far as Paul is talking about here in the book of Philippians. The second person that he talks about is overseers. In the church today, we have spiritual overseers. They're called elders. They're men who have been placed here and have made a commitment to serve God here as the shepherds, as those who oversee the church from a spiritual standpoint. And then the last one there he talked about was deacons. We don't have deacons per se here, but deacons basically are people who are servants, people who are kind of behind the scenes, are there to do the work. And so what happens is, like this morning, for example, around 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning, people start showing up. They open the doors. They turn on all the lights. They unlock all the classrooms. They turn the lights on there. People come in. They start making coffee because that's critical. And we start getting the coffee ready, and then the donuts come, and they start to cut the donuts. And then in order for our fellowship, as we call it, time back in the gym between services. And then we have people start to come in as greeters and ushers and check-in people and information booth people, and they're all coming in to do their part to make this day what it is and what you see when you walk in here at 25 after 8 or 25 after 10. And so there's been a lot of work that's already happened. That would be your deacons. That would be those people who are serving. So in this case, Paul's talking to all three, talking to all of us as saints, talking specifically to leaders, and specifically to deacons. So that's who he's talking to, and that's what he's addressing here in this first part of these 11 verses. Now, let's think a minute. Paul's in jail. Remember I just mentioned that? Once again, he finds himself in jail. And so he's in jail, Timothy's there, and they're chained. They can't go anywhere. You know, all their friends in Philippi, they're all free. They can move about wherever they want to go. And so it would be very easy for Paul to be thinking about poor old Paul and to be concentrating and thinking about the fact that he's in jail and they're not. I mean, after all, he's doing God's work. Why is he in jail? He could be asking God those questions. But you know, if you've studied Paul long enough, you know that's not the case. Paul's attitude was totally different than what we might have if that was us in jail. Paul was in jail and he was waiting for trial. So it wasn't a good time for him as far as that goes. But the whole time he's there, his thoughts were really with the people in Philippi. He loved them dearly. They loved him. He loved them. And so even though he's at one of his worst moments, he's thinking about somebody else other than himself. And in this case, it's those in Philippi. So let's go back now, and we're going to study these 9 verses for a little while this morning. We're going to look at the meat of this passage today. Paul was basically saying, and there's three, I'm going to break it into 3 areas. Paul was saying that I have you on my mind. That's what he was telling the church in Philippi. I have you on my mind. Then he also told them, I have you in my heart. And then finally he says, I have you in my prayers. That's how Paul was thinking about the church in Philippi. So let's take a look at this first passage. I have you in my mind. He says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. You see, there's a lot of things that Paul could have been thinking about. There's a lot of things that we're probably, if it was us, would be going through our mind. One, he could be looking at his current situation, which wasn't good. He was in jail awaiting a trial. Poor me. And that's what he could have been thinking about. He could have been thinking about how bad it was the last time he was in Philippi. Remember in the study in the book of Acts? He was there. He was preaching. And what happened? They arrested him. They beat him. And they threw him in jail then. And then they realized that he was a Roman citizen and that they couldn't really do that. And so they got him out of jail and kind of ran him out of town real quick, in order to smooth things over. So he could have been concentrating on that and concentrating on the fact of what happened to him in Philippi that was bad. But no, here's what he was thinking about. Here's what was on Paul's mind, his loving memories of the body of believers in Philippi. That's what he was thinking about. None of the bad stuff, none of the pain, none of the suffering, but he was thinking about how much he loves those folks in Philippi. He was thinking about how faithful they were and how faithful their support of him has been. He was thinking about how they really enjoyed true community or fellowship that he had with him, with the people in Philippi. So they shared this in common. This koinonia, this word fellowship, it's far more than coffee and donuts between services. It's far more than us getting together for maybe a golf match during the week. This koinonia fellowship was something much, much deeper than that. It meant that things that we as Christian people share in common. The love that Paul had for those folks was phenomenal. The question is, maybe, how would things be different today in the churches in America? Or maybe more specifically, right here at First Church of God, if we had this kind of love for each other, this koinonia love, this true partnership that Paul spoke about in verse 5. You know, we all have our differences. If you haven't noticed already, you look around the room and we're all different. Some are young, some are older, some are tall and slim. Like I said, that person, there's nobody caught that either. That's not me. Some of us are maybe shorter and not so thin. Some of us may be different nationalities, different personality types. There's all different kinds of people here in this room today. But here's what Paul's saying. That if you are here today, you have truly accepted Christ as your Savior, and you have accepted him, and now you are a Christ follower, we all share something in common. And that's Jesus. We share the love of Jesus because we are all believers in Christ. So we need to understand how important it is to look at this passage in this light, to understand true fellowship, the true discipleship. Paul's also had confidence that God would continue to work in their lives. He would work in their salvation, and he would work in the support of him and his ministry. He was confident that these folks would continue on, that they would keep growing, they would keep praying for him and his ministry, they would keep supporting him, and he was confident that they would continue to work out their salvation in Jesus. You know, it's this whole concept of our lives being under construction. That's really what's happening. Every one of us, as Christ followers, our lives are under construction. They're being continually worked on. God is continually helping us to get rid of the selfishness that maybe is just part of who we are, or all the other bad characteristics that we might bring into our relationship. And God's working with us to help us to mature in Christ. You know, I read a story about Ruth and Billy Graham. And the story was that they were traveling one time on the interstate. And just like us, you know, they're going down the highway, everything's going well, and then all of a sudden, they see that dreaded sign that says, you know, road construction, next 20 miles ahead, or something like that. It's like, oh, no. And so the traffic starts to slow down, and next thing you know, it's bumper to bumper, and they're stuck in this traffic jam. But as they're going through it, and they patiently work through this jam, they keep going, they keep moving ahead, and it's at a certain point, the traffic starts to let up. They start to see clear pavement and some space between them and the next car. And then they see that sign they've been looking for. End of construction. Thank you for your patience. And so when they saw that sign, Ruth Graham said to Billy, she said, you know, there's a great example in this. She says, I hope that on my tombstone you put those words. Under construction. Thank you for your patience. Because she understood the importance of staying on course and staying with it and continuing to move forward and being persistent and letting God work in her life. Because that's how we grow. We grow during those times, all those times of construction, because that's what's going on in our life. That's the process that's happening to us. So those words were truly fitting for all those who were Christ followers. We begin to feel the process of spiritual growth in our life. Going on. We start to feel how God is working in us. You see, the Holy Spirit works to remove selfishness, to renew our thinking, and to develop qualities for us that are more like Christ. Isn't that what we're trying to be? Isn't that who we're trying to look like? V.F. Grounds says it's like this: when his work in us is complete, we shall be like him perfectly formed to our Heavenly Father. And that's the day that we stand before Jesus Christ. And when we look at Him face to face, then and only then will we be completed. Will we be able to say, construction's over, and now we can be like Christ. So this life that we are living in now is going to be a life under construction, a work in progress. And Paul was trying to encourage them in that. He was trying to encourage them to continue this track of growing in Jesus Christ. On the other side of the coin, though, what do we do sometimes? Sometimes we see that sign that says there's going to be road construction, and the first thing we do is we go to some device, either an iPad, an iSomething, or our GPS, and we try to find another route because we don't want to get stuck in this traffic jam. We don't want to be work in progress. We want to get around it because it's much easier. But you see, God doesn't want us to do that in our life. You can do that in the road if you want to. But in real life, God doesn't want us to try to get around all that. He wants to use that under construction in our life to help us to grow. But we have to realize that it takes more than just coming to church. And I hope I'm not telling you anything you don't already know, but coming to church on Sunday morning and then checking it off and leaving, there's much more to all this than that. It's much deeper than all that. You know, it takes work to commit to being a Christ follower, to study the Word, to pray, to serve, and to love others like Christ tells us to love. And that brings us to a point of how do we treat others? Do we focus on their weaknesses or on the things that drive us crazy? You know, that we all have, well, they just drive me nuts. They drive me crazy. I don't want to be around them because they drive me crazy. Are we focusing on those kind of things? Or, as Christ followers who share something in common, Jesus Christ, are we focusing on their strengths? Are we focusing on the commonality that we have? Are we living out this Luke 10:27 passage that Jeff and I talked about last week? Love your neighbors as yourself. Are we living our life that way? So let's get back to this last point, though. This, when it comes to working out our salvation, what does that mean? What does that look like? Well, salvation is God's work. You see, folks, again, we don't bring anything to the table. When it comes to God's salvation, we come with nothing. God comes with everything. We may think, well, you know, I have gifts. I have spiritual gifts, and I bring those. No, you got those from God. God brought those to you. He's developed them in you. On your own, you wouldn't have had those. Well, I have stuff. I have money. I have this. I have that. You know what? None of that we have on our own. It's only because God has given it to us to use for Him. God brings everything to the table, and we come empty-handed and just ask God for mercy. And that's what God does. He is the one doing that work of salvation. And the second point is salvation is a good work. He takes us from eternal damnation, because if we don't know Jesus, to eternal glory in heaven when we do know Jesus. We've accepted Him. That's a wonderful thing in our life when we've gone that way. So it is God's work that He's doing. It's good work. And finally, salvation is a sure work. He always completes what He starts. And this is what Paul was telling this church in Philippi. God will complete a good work in you. He started it. He will complete it. He will not fail. He will not let you down. He will not desert you. He will not neglect you. His love never fails. And we need to understand that God will finish with us. That yes, we are going to be under construction in this life. But someday, when we stand before Jesus, we will finally be able to be Christ-like. And that's what we have to think about. The second point here is I have you on my heart. That's the next thing that Paul talks about. It says, it is right for me to feel this way about you, all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Jesus Christ. You see, folks, Christian love is what binds us together. Understanding what Christian love looks like will help us and bind us together and cause us not to be worried about someone's weaknesses, but looking for the things that we have in common. That's because we love them, similar to the way that Paul loved this church in Philippi. Also, love is the evidence of our salvation. You know, when we accept Christ into our life, as Jeff said earlier, the way we live our life should be different. The love we have for others should be different than before we accepted Christ. Because of our salvation, we should love people differently. If we have this kind of love, we will be concerned for each other. And we will have that concern for each other, want to encourage each other, want to seek out and find the good things about people versus concentrating on those things that drive us crazy, for example. We'll be willing to forgive each other. And I know for some of you, that's a tough thing. It's hard sometimes to forgive those who have sinned against you or those that have hurt you or whatever. But we are called to be people of God who forgive, just like He forgives us. And then we will look for that common ground that we have in Christ and not focus on the differences. And when we practice true love, we'll be able to really experience true joy. You see, without true love, we can never experience true joy. We will never find true joy if we're not loving people. And the final point is, I have you in my prayers. Paul says, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in the knowledge and the depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is the best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God. You see, folks, the greatest thing that as Christ followers we share in common is God's grace. We all get it. Every single one of us. You truly believe in Jesus Christ and you truly have accepted Him and you are a Christ follower, we all have that in common, God's grace. Paul's prayer was that their love would grow in knowledge and discernment. This knowledge of the Bible is huge for Christ followers. The relationship with both Jesus and His Word is vital in our spiritual growth as we are under construction. And that's why we decided to make this a year in which we really focus on God's Word. Make sure we get God's Word in everyone's hands. Make sure that we try to read that every day together and concentrate on what God is trying to tell us and what God is teaching us. We're not asking you to read through the Bible for a year just so that you can check it off and say, yeah, I read the Bible. That's fine, but that's not the reason we're asking you to do it. We're asking you to read through the Bible in a year so that you can have this knowledge of discernment, being able to make good choices and understand God's teaching so that you'll be able to accept whatever it is you hear, because when you're reading God's Word, that's when God speaks to you. That's when God says little things and brings them into your mind, things that we need to understand or maybe we need to change or things we need to do. All that happens when you're reading God's Word. And if your only exposure to that is on this screen once a week, it's not going to probably happen much. And so Paul wanted them to continue to abound in their love for the Word and understand that. And that same thing applies for us today. But that's why we've placed the emphasis so much this year on the Bible. And you're going to hear this a lot, talking about the Bible. You know, Rick, this week, we studied together every week, and Rick shared a story with us that kind of fits with this, because so often people are just, they read the Bible and they get it and they check it off and they move on, but they don't really think about the facts. They don't really think about what they're reading and what they're being told through the Scripture. Here's what he said. This is a story he shared with us. It says, a group of people were presented a new concept. And about 50% of the group believed the new concept without even thinking about it, simply because they read it. You know how that goes. How many of you have probably seen the commercial on television where the girl is talking about the internet? And the guy says, well, how do you know that's true? She says, well, it's on the internet, right? If it's on the internet, it must be true. And then here comes her French boyfriend. You know, it kind of closes that out. But, you know, so anyway, then he says 30% did not believe the concept at all. And 15% wanted to wait a while before they made up their minds. But at the same time, they did not ask for more clarification or more information. They just didn't believe it. And then only 5% of the people actually analyzed all the details before coming up with their conclusion. So according to this survey, one might say only 5% of the population thinks, and 15% think they think, and 80% don't even pretend to think. So as we read the Bible this year together, besides the fact of being able to know that when I'm reading this scripture, maybe somebody else in our church is reading the same scripture at the same time. That's powerful in and of itself. But other than just reading the Bible, our prayer is that you take what you've read and that you study it. That you go beyond maybe what we tell you from up here and dig deeper. Ask questions. Make sure you kind of search and find the answers yourself as well. Because that's what God wants you to do. Don't just accept everything we hear because it's on the internet or because somebody says it. Get into the Word of God yourself and try to see what God is saying. And then maybe take it a step further. I don't know how many of you are, well, I kind of do. If you're on Facebook, if you've accepted my friend request, I have you on my Facebook, so I kind of see the stuff that goes on every day. I said to Jeff earlier, tomorrow, a bunch of you will probably defriend us because we're seeing what's going on Facebook. But if you're a person that gets into Facebook, use Facebook for something really good. You know, Facebook can be used for good things. It can be used for bad things. But maybe in this instance, find something really neat. And that is, as you're reading those passages every day, and God's placing thoughts in your mind about those passages every day, maybe get on Facebook and onto the LaPorte First Church of God Facebook account and share some of your thoughts. Maybe share some questions with each other. And next thing you know, there may be 15, 20, 30 people responding to your comment or responding to your question. And what's going to happen then is people are going to start to work together as we study together to know God's Word. You know, because we're going to read this morning and we're going to maybe read about Abraham and Sarah or Isaac and Jacob and some of the stories in Genesis. This is a really good part that you're in right now. And I realize that it's going to get tougher when you get into Leviticus and some other books. But stay with it. Stay on the course. But continue to read, dig deep, study what God has to say, and maybe share it with each other and what it's doing in your own spiritual walk. How the passage that day affected you spiritually. That would be really nice if we could start using Facebook for something like that and really grow from that. At the end of this passage, Paul also prays for their Christian character. So what does Christian love or Christian character really look like? That may be a question you have. Two questions that you can ask yourself maybe. There's probably a dozen questions. But two that I've chose this morning for us to look at is, first of all, when it comes to character, is our actions in our life day to day, are they causing people to stumble? Are people looking at what we do and what we say, and is it causing them to stumble, or is it causing them to strive toward more spiritual growth? Only you can answer that question. You know what? Yeah, you can say, well, I have rights. We have freedom in Christ, so I don't have to worry about that. Well, I hate to break it to you, but if you truly have that koinonia, that true fellowship, that true love for believers, you will care about that. Because who wants to make someone else stumble? Even if it takes away your right, you don't want to do that if it's going to cause someone else to stumble. And the second question is, would Jesus Christ, if he came back today, would he be ashamed of the way I'm living my life? Would he look at what I'm doing, what I'm spending my time doing, what I'm thinking about, what I'm talking about, all those things, would he be happy with that? Or would he be ashamed of how I'm acting? You know, a personal story to that is when I was a young boy, my mom used to use this against me. And she would say to me, I'd ask her a question, you know, like, Mom, is it okay if I go do whatever? And she'd look at me and she'd say, well, what do you think? She says, do you think that if Christ came back while you were doing that, would it be okay? Would he be happy with that? And I'm like, God, that's no fair. That's cheating. So if you're a parent, that's just unfair. But you know, how true is that? Would God be happy with my actions? Would he be happy with the way I'm using my time? Would he be happy by the way I'm using my life to influence others? Also, will Christ see us loving and serving the way he wants us to serve and the way he wants us to live? Or will Christ see us spending our time doing things that we want to do, things of the world? It's all questions that we have to ask ourselves this morning as you think about what Paul's writing in this book of Philippians. I could go on, but we need to finish this up. And so the final point this morning is Paul wants them to be filled with the fruit of righteousness. That's what it says in that last verse. It talks about what, and I want my question to you is, what does that look like? What is Paul writing about when he talks about the fruit of righteousness? Because we all need to know this. Because when it comes to character, our character, this passage that we're going to find in Galatians is huge. It talks about character. In Galatians 5, 22 and 23, we need to be people who live like we are filled with these type of characteristics, these character traits. This needs to be who we are. And when people say, how did I live my life? When they look back at my life, they need to understand that if my life is not like this, well, then I need to keep working harder because this is how God wants me to be. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is, and here's the character traits, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. This is the character that Paul's telling them they need to live by. This is what he's challenging those folks in Philippi who he loves so dearly. He's challenging them to live this way that Paul writes about in Galatians. So in closing this morning, here's the takeaway. Here's the things that I want each and every one of us to walk out of here with. If you don't walk out of here with anything else today, I want you to walk out with these. But what we're going to do is we're going to start with the first one. And it sometimes is the hardest. Because the first thing is, we need to determine personally whether we truly are a Christ follower. You know, even Satan, he believed that there was a God and trembled. A lot of people believe they're God. There's a God. They're acknowledgers. But they're not necessarily Christ followers. Just acknowledgers. Yeah, there's a God. I believe there's a God. But you know, it goes deeper than that, folks. We all need to, first of all and foremost, in this passage and in this book and in every book to follow, we need to, first of all, get this fact straight and right before we can really truly understand the rest of the book of Philippians. We need to be people who have truly accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. That we realize that our sin will keep us from heaven. And that the only way we can spend eternity with God is if he had to sacrifice something for us. And he did. His son. And if you've accepted that, and you believe in that, and you've taken that into your heart, then you truly can walk out of here this morning saying that I am a Christ follower. But that point needs to be straightened out first. And secondly, if so, if you really are, then do we love each other with the same kind of love that Paul had for his partners in Philippi? This true fellowship, sharing in common the love for Jesus Christ. See, that's what we share together as believers. One in which we look for the things that we share in common and not for the differences. Who's preaching, who's singing, who's doing this, who's doing that. None of those things make a difference. Because what we're here for is to share in common with each other the common things we have. Grace, mercy, God's righteousness. We all have that if you're a Christ follower. We share in that. Let us not run from the construction that's going on in our life. Let's accept it gladly. Because it's through those times of construction that God is making us stronger. But understand and accept the fact that it won't be complete until we stand face to face with Jesus Christ. And we don't know when that time will come. That could be any time for any of us. But then, and only then, will we be Christ-like. Let's abound in our love and our knowledge so that we can discern, so that we can understand God's word, so that we can make better choices in our life. Let's be part of that 5%, that 5% that digs deeper, that don't just accept everything you hear as fact, and get in the Bible and study it yourself and find out what God's saying to you. And then let's make this passage in Galatians a passage that describes who you are, who describes who I am, who describes who you are. People who live lives that are filled with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Let that be what makes us. And when people look at our life and look back at our life, let them see those things. And if they don't, then let's do something about it today while you still have an opportunity to do so. Accept Christ. Become that Christ follower so that you can love and serve him the way he would want you to. That's the challenge that Paul has for them and the challenge that Paul has for us and the challenge that Jesus Christ has for each and every one of us here today. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you so much for your love, your greatness, your kindness. I thank you, Lord, that your life resembled all these character traits. When you were here on this earth, you lived that way. Help us to strive to live that way as well. But first of all, this morning, my prayer is this. For each and every person sitting in this room this morning, I pray, Lord God, that each and every one of us have truly accepted you as our Lord and Savior. That we truly are Christ's followers. And Lord, if we're not, then I just pray that each one of us, whoever that may be this morning, that you just right now, where you stand, go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to come into your heart. Tell him that you love him and that you accept what he's done for you as the gift that he's given you called grace, and that you now want to live your life for him under construction. I pray that you do that today, Lord, in each of their lives, if that's where they're at this morning, because, Lord, we none of us know how much more time we have. And so please don't let them leave this morning without making that decision. And Lord, I want them to know that if that's a decision that you've made, come up afterwards. Talk to us if you need to. If you need for us to pray with you, we will. Whatever we can do with folks, Lord, this morning, let them step out and make that first move to accept you as their Savior. And then, Lord, if so, I pray that we may love like you, that we may live like you, that we may study to show ourselves approved, that we may understand your grace, and that we may have character traits just like you did. And then, Lord God, we look forward to the day that we can stand in front of you and be completed and to finally be totally Christ-like. Thank you, Father, for this day and this teaching. Help us as we continue to study this letter to the Church of Philippi. We look forward to the time together. If that's what you do, Lord, if you give us that time, we will look forward to spending it.